All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, I have gone on eBay and I have bought a bunch of old decoder rings.
Ooh.
Remember those?
Be sure to drink your Ovaltine, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Same basic thing. Mm-hmm. And I thought what we would do is we would take like a random page from, say, my favorite book, The Holy Bible.
Okay.
And then run it through this decoder thing and see if it suggests a game.
Okay. Yeah. Are you sure we're not going to like uncover alien conspiracies and stuff? Like, is this going to bring us attention that we don't want?
Possibly. Okay. We might get Dan Brown.
But you could put it into a fortress. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's worth a shot. Yeah. No. Okay. So I'll, let's do random Bible verse.
Okay.
Yeah. Random Bible verse from dailyverses.net. This is from Psalm 23:4.
You can just find it from the verses wiki.
The verses battle wiki. And okay. Corinthians reign supreme once more.
Those Corinthians, look out for Deuteronomy.
God, Luke doesn't stand a chance. Get out of here, Thomas. It's funny because that's Apocrypha. Yeah. Wait, I doubt whether or not Thomas is Apocrypha. Fuck.
That was also
a joke. Let's see here. Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, and you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Well, you landed on a real banger.
I know, right?
Like, yeah, I'm surprised, like, you landed on one that wasn't just one of those.
and low upon the hill upstairs. Of the Kasiah.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like, and they gazed upon.
Yes.
You were saying, like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, okay. Well, let's take our decoder rings. Okay. I've got one for each finger, like the Mandarin.
okay.
And I'm going to just kind of here.
All right. Okay.
Turn them. Boy, wearing this as a ring doesn't really help.
No.
This is not great.
I mean, it kind of just seems like it'd be an object. Like, it seems like wearing it as a ring would be, it would draw attention to the fact that you're doing spy stuff. Actually,
I think the idea is like you're supposed to sneak it in, like, oh, that guy's just got an unusual ring, you know, and then they don't know that you're actually decoding things.
Maybe.
I think that's the idea. All right. Well, I've been working on all of mine, and most of mine are gibberish. Did you get anything?
Yeah, I've got one here, but it's in Cyrillic. I think this one. Shit. Whoa, it says KGB conspiracy.
Oh. All right.
Okay.
Adventure game that we're not going to get very far into because abject suffering reasons. Okay, we've never talked about the KGB on this.
No, it's no? I don't know. I talking about politics and just that aspect of it. Yeah, I'm afraid we're gonna say something about the Soviet Union and some person with a black and white photo of a guy with a mustache as an avatar is gonna come and say the gulags were actually good.
Yeah,
I don't want that to happen.
Like a tanky.
Yeah, I don't want to have my time wasted by a tanky, Gary.
Well, you know. They just, you know.
Well, yeah. America's not so great either. Like, I know. I talk about it all the time.
Yeah, I know. We know.
Yeah, we know.
It's not a race to the bottom.
No.
Anywho.
Anyway.
Abject Suffering, we recorded this in the same session as last time, so I haven't outsourced the catchphrase yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
This is KGB.
Mm-hmm.
An old adventure game that is interesting but kind of unplayable. It has really banging music.
Mm-hmm. I was really surprised at how good the music is in this, Gary.
It's awesome. It's very cyberpunk for a game that is not very cyberpunk.
Yeah. I mean, so I didn't run into any of the bullshit that is here. Like, if you read about it, I just kind of actually like really enjoyed playing what I did of this.
Well, that's the trick is that the bullshit, you don't know that you ran into the bullshit. Like, that's like a lot of the bullshit in this is like you didn't happen to walk in on this drug deal at this random time in this random place.
Yes.
Therefore, an hour later, the game is unbeatable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, like, there's a certain amount of like police quest stuff going on here.
Oh yeah, it's totally police. It's a procedural. Like there's this weird genre of adventure game in the 80s, primarily police quests, which are basically just following procedures. Mm-hmm. You know, similar to like a Papers, Please or whatever, like the way you can kind of systematize almost any task and turn it into a game.
Yes. In the past, I have said good things about Police Quest. I really liked the first two Police Quests. And you, Gary, have acted like I was the craziest person in the world for having that opinion.
Yep. Well, I'm not real big into those games. And then I was thinking about the later ones where they brought on the real like Don Brodzka.
That's right, Ken Brodzka.
The LA police chief who is this like crazy racist demagogue to create them. But yeah, I mean, I get it. Mm-hmm. Like it is interesting. You know, the idea of just following a procedure through this as a gamified thing is kind of appealing.
Yeah.
In this game, kind of the issue is more that like you don't really know the procedures. And a lot of them are not procedures. Like walking in on a drug deal in an alley is not a procedure. Yeah. I'm sure that would be like step one in fighting crime.
Yeah.
The procedure is to find crime, like stumble upon crime, step one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But there's a certain element of this to navigating what feels like a parodied or propagandized version of, you know, Russian secret police, let's say thought. Let's go with that. And I was
the like secret police thought like the hoe over there it's in the secret police.
But yeah, just the bullshit in this being that you can fail and not know why because you were not in the right place at the right time, and there doesn't really seem to be that much of like there's no like Last Express you can rewind, you know, to a particular point. Right.
If you die, you can click back a couple moves, but oftentimes it doesn't take you back to before.
Right.
You know, the cause of your death.
Yeah. It seems like they knew that this was a little bit of a problem because they re-released it. The version that we both played was called Conspiracy as opposed to KGB. And it was a CD-ROM update of the game where they added a hint system where you ask your dad, Donald Sutherland, for advice. The ghost memory of your dad, Donald Sutherland. You ask him for advice.
Like if you ever wanted Donald Sutherland to be your ghost dad, like this is a real good game for that.
See, the thing is,
the premier game.
It might be one of at least six places you can find that. The thing is, I didn't know that was a thing that I wanted until I found it here.
Yeah, Donald Sutherland's great.
Oh, he's great.
Good voice on that guy.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, and the idea of him guiding you from behind the grave to. You know, press rights and stuff as a KGB member. Great.
Yeah.
Super cool.
The other thing about this is it takes place in 1991, you know, it's basically on the eve of the collapse of the Soviet Union. And you're like an idealist, somebody who doesn't necessarily believe in the state, but believes in the cause. And it's like you rooting out corruption in the secret police force or whatever. It's a real Western take on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And then it becomes all about conspiracies and the like.
Of course.
The CD-ROM version actually replaces all reference to KGB with conspiracy, which is really weird.
Why?
Yeah.
It kind of seems like that is a really big thing about this is the fact that you are part of the KGB, part of the secret police.
Yeah. And it's like this could have been. So though I feel like the premise for this game is like interesting, but it's a little bit wasted. Like I would almost want this to go full heel.
Oh yeah.
You know, this could have been here's an educational kind of art game about this stuff by actually putting you in situations that the KGB would be in.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, basing this on real life as opposed to this like kind of a fanciful spy story from the other side, which is already like a cool premise.
Yeah, yeah.
But once you kind of read about, I mean, I didn't get that far in it, but once I read about like the stuff that happens and everything, it's not the point it's trying, it feels like it's more like having an interesting setting than trying to make a point
about
its subject matter. Mm-hmm. And like an itch.io style art game about the, like a Papers, Please, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Is what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Give me the tyranny of this. Like, let me, like, make me feel bad about the systemic incentives that I am following in order to play this game well, but being a bad person.
Yes. Yeah. Tempt me into evil, which is always. If you have evil in a game, like, you know, trying to, you know, going through Tyranny for Watch Out for Fireballs is maybe trying to articulate, like, you know, and further kind of develop my whole you know, my lack of desire to get good boy points in games, like, you know, and part of the reason what I think makes evil work in a game, you know, but also while simultaneously not really liking, you know, a lot of the approaches to it. Like, I don't really like the modern BioWare options for it when I play Dragon Age games. It's like, well, you know, this is kind of dumb. I think that the two options is, like, one, you can do like deliciously evil, which I really like, where it's just kind of like, it's just like cartoonish and kind of fun. The other thing is tempt me into evil. You know, do your torment things like, hey, this book wants me to sacrifice one of my companions and I'll get this incredible, you know, amazing spell if I do it. Like, tempt me into evil. Papers, please me. Don't just like say, hey, you know, do you want, here's dialogue options. One's always good. One's always evil.
This has to go one of two ways. Make your arbitrary decision now.
Yes, as just kind of a, like, which, you know, which option, menu option do you choose for your playthrough? Like, I'm playing an evil character, so I'll be evil. Like, I can, I get into the role-playing aspect of that, but I think that it's much more interesting to be tempted into evil.
Well, yeah, because the temptation implies that there's going to be something we talk about a lot, an integration between the dialogue, the, you know, the writing and the system, right?
Yeah, you know, again, look at, like, Dishonored, which is all about being tempted into evil. Like,
Look at, look at Alpha Protocol.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the good way to do it. You know, so be delicious or tempt me. And this doesn't really do either. Like, it's kind of, this game doesn't actually, other than just kind of taking the signposting and stuff, doesn't feel like it played that differently. Like, this could have been like, you could have been, you know, Donald Sutherland Jr. Mars cop. And this is just like a kind of a weird, you know, totalitarian system, but it doesn't, you're not doing straight up dark ass KGB shit.
Not as far as I can tell, you know, like, so I played this for probably about a half an hour. I went and did kind of my first case, and then I got out partway to the follow-up before I started, I broke to do research or whatever. And it was like, I went to this private detective's office and then rooted around and found a tape recorder and a tape that his sister gave me. And I listened to the tape and I, you know, brought it back, and I was like reprimanded for listening to the tape. I was only there to find the information, not process it.
And actually, you had already fucked up, because the walkthroughs for this game, you're supposed to go to your office and wait for a phone call in the beginning. So the both the walkthroughs I said reference that. So I don't know how critical that is, but the first step is go be there for a phone call. Extremely dumb.
That I think is very funny about this, you have a pretty expansive dialogue tree with any individual person, and it's like, ask this person about, tell this person, you know, to, or just talk about this thing. And you can generally always talk about television, or you can always talk about perestroika.
the two genders.
You ask the person, and then there's a follow-up, like, based on their response, and one of them is almost always, let us live out the ideals of the party within a capitalist or within a market-based mindset or something like that. It's like, this is not, this isn't real.
There's some kind of humor to it. I didn't try this, but I read about it online, is that if you try to kill yourself, it's like, do you really want to dispose of state assets without permission?
Right.
And you get the option, and it's like, destroy state assets or wait for permission. Which, the idea of waiting for permission to kill yourself is one of the saddest things I can think of.
Yeah.
Like, the idea of somebody about to suicide and then just being like, well, I don't have permission yet. Like, that's dystopian.
Yeah, that is that is really, really dystopian, actually. Now I'm sad.
This was developed by Cryo Entertainment, which is a cool, weird adventure game also ran, who did Dune games.
Yes.
So I think that we have done... I don't know if they didn't do Dune 2.
No, we did the original Dune game that they did.
The
weird adventure game one that also had like a little bit of a strategy element to it, where you were like,
Dune 2 is the RTS, full RTS one,
right?
Cryo Entertainment is very strange.
They also did Dragon Lore.
They're weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so very, very strange little also ran.
Yeah,
like a sub legend,
and they developed games until relatively recently. Their last game was in 2009, which feels like 5 years ago, but it was 10 years ago, and we will all soon be dust. Yeah.
I like how they did Commander Blood, which is a game in the Captain Blood series.
Commander Blood, a Captain Blood adventure.
And Commander Blood was also released in the sequel to it is called Big Bug Bang. Whoa. Don't answer that Craigslist.
We all have a black bug room.
Yeah, you're gonna come back with something. So that is no good.
I'm really curious. Wait, they also did River World. What is River World?
It's just about Wisconsin.
It's based on a series of novels by Philip Jose Farmer.
Oh, I know Philip Jose Farmer. He's weird. So is somebody like as a late teen.
Okay.
You know, I just like was like, I like fantasy books. I'll go look at the fantasy section of the bookstore and sometimes buy random fantasy books.
Yeah.
You know, the used bookstore, even though that's a horrible idea, because as far as genres go, it has a really low.
It's a terrible batting average. Yeah,
absolutely terrible. And I remember buying a book by Philip Jose Farmer called Dungeon.
Okay. It seems like Gary Bate.
Totally. Like Dungeon. And I'm like, yeah, Dungeon. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It was one of the most boring books I've ever read. Really, really horrible. And the other bit of Philip Jose Farmer, like now that, you know, looking through my file for it, is I think that he ghost wrote a few books under Kurt Vonnegut's like fake author, Kilgore Trout.
Okay.
I think that there's a couple of Kilgore Trout books that are actually written by Philip Jose Farmer. Huh. I'm going to look that up right now because I want to see if that's true.
Yeah. No, go for it.
Because I am very curious.
Yeah, I didn't mean to actually like pull something that was good. The idea of a video game called River World is incredibly funny to me.
Yeah. Yeah, Venus on a Half Shell. The one actual published work attributed to Kilgore Trout is by Philip Jose Farmer.
Huh.
He used it for some time. It was assumed that Vonnegut must have written it, and the truth of the authorship came out. Vonnegut was reported as being not amused.
Yeah. Not amused.
So
two surprising things. There is a Time Cop video game. That was composed by David Cage. It was composed by David Cage. I was about to say not that one, but
we've stumbled upon that,
have we?
Wikipedia factoid before.
But that's
okay. I can't remember when, but
yeah, but Cryo developed it. I have a soft spot for the movie Time Cop.
Oh, sure. It's great. Like, what a cool idea. He does the splits. In the message board for this, there's a pretty weird message by the Orange Ranger. Did you find this?
Let me see here. Yes. All right. Yep. So as a neutral party, ..
Yep. Post. I expect you all to figure this out in a timely and fashionably manner. If things get out of hand, well, you've seen my friends. And then Sour Diesel says, I don't think they're coming, man. And then Skullinator just says asterisks.
Yeah.
So
this is really cryptic.
Yeah.
But I really don't know what's going on there. I really enjoy. Oh, do you think the Orange Ranger was kicked out of the band?
Oh, maybe.
Maybe like, hey, like our new, you know, so the roving band of.
We call ourselves the Power Rangers.
Yep, we're the Power Rangers. And so we just tell the Orange Ranger, like, oh, yeah, we're going to be on the KGB PC board. It's like, okay, cool, I'll meet you there. But actually, they went over to the Time Cop board.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The Orange Ranger is all alone. You've seen my friends. What friends, my friend?
Yeah, they are gaslighting the Orange Ranger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's coming through on the recording, that leaf blower sound.
No, it's not.
Okay, good. Because I have just been dealing with random noise pollution all morning in my apartment complex, and it's pretty fucking obnoxious. And how many goddamn leaves can there possibly be? Like, I know that it is fall. I know that's like asking how many angels fit on the head of a pin, right? But they've been doing this for hours.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go out there and do it right, which is, you know, the most boomer thing that I've ever, like, fucking wanted to do, speaking of last episode. But I just want to go out there and be like, you guys can, you don't have to do this all day.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Like blowing leaves, it's a weirdly frustrating task because they get everywhere.
I believe it.
Yeah.
You know, use a fucking rake.
Yeah.
Like, you know, at least to this guy. You know, like I know the space that he is blowing the leaves around.
Yeah, yeah.
I swear to God, a rake would work better for this. And maybe he wouldn't be doing it all day. Like sometimes there's teams of them.
Yeah.
I've seen three people out there doing that. And it's not very much sidewalk. Like, I don't know.
I don't know. Make work kind of deal. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be. If they're screwing over their boss, I do not mind them.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're screwing over me in the process, and that's where they've made an enemy.
See, that's the thing. That they they messed with the wrong person. Now, yeah. my parents, they moved to like a condo community that mm-hmm. you know, they've got people who tend the grounds, and so like sometimes you'll go over there, and I shit you not, there will be teams of like, let's say, 8 people on the fastest lawnmowers I've ever seen. Just like, and they, you know, like they come in and they break out and they cover different quadrants, and you see like 2 of them go up to each other, then they turn at the last minute.
It's like light cycles.
Yeah.
That's pretty rad.
It's really funny to see their very funny to see their efficiency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like that sounds fun. You know, I'm sure there's some joy to holding a leaf blower.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just having the power of one of the elements in your hand.
You're tempting me to talk about my leaf blower, and I'm not going to fucking do it. This is a... I spotted your trap. You're not going to fucking fool me, because I know what you do.
Yeah, for the record, I was going to immediately turn around and chide you for it. Oh, so yeah. the that was the joke. So good on you to see through it.
Good on me for ignoring the temptation to talk about my leaf blower.
Yeah. But yeah, that was the plan.
Okay.
People who are listening can fill in their own, you know, the rest of that. You
their can act own out. Sick burn.
What would have happened in that situation? Ah, man.
I'm sorry to deny you that. I just
it's okay. Well, deny the audience, really.
Well, yes. Yeah.
Like, say sorry to them, Cole.
No, I'm not going to.
Except a Patreon apology post. Hashtag justice at Ross. Boy. One of the reasons why I'm glad that this episode digressed already away from the game is because mm-hmm. I don't know anything really about the KGB.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Like, I know a little bit, you know, and it is interesting, but I don't know that much. I mostly know what I saw in Chernobyl and James Bond movies and mm-hmm.
I just I've read like books about just the disinformation campaigns and stuff. Like, just, I don't know, as like spycraft and as population, you know, psyop kind of stuff, it's really interesting. It's hard because, you know, it's difficult. I would like to find like a good book about it that doesn't come from like either, you know, either side's propaganda, you know, mm-hmm. like at least, you know, we ran into this when we talked about Tetris earlier this year, right? Where like it's really, really fascinating to get a look inside this closed off country. But like if you read a book about the KGB from an American perspective, they're maybe made up bullshit. And the same thing if you read about it from, you know, the Soviet perspective. Like, I just want to read a history of it that, you know, has the
you want to know what happened.
Yes,
you want the truth. You're not looking for a book, really. Mm-hmm. You just want to get to the idealized result of a book.
Yes,
you know. So I get that. It's hard. Like, history is like that mm-hmm. constantly, though. Like, I went and bought a couple of history books. I had a weird itch, mm-hmm. and I have not read them. They're just sitting there. So, you know, that itch was at least partially fleeting. Like, I, you know, I'm fine with history. But I went and bought some books, and it was hard to research like what would be good, because that was the main thing I was looking for. Mm-hmm. Was like, what, you know, I was like, okay, World War II.
Yes.
Interested in World War II. Mm-hmm. What is the good book about World War II? And it took a surprising amount of research, because one, I wanted something general. Mm-hmm. You know, but two, because a lot of things were filled with razzle dazzle, and then also you know, biased.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not saying, like, you know, tell both sides of that story. Like, I want to, you know.
No.
Yeah, that's not what I mean by that.
I just don't want like made up outsized bullshit. You know?
I want to know what happened.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to get to the truth of the thing. I don't mm-hmm. actually want to read the book in between. That's not mm-hmm. the point. The point is just to gain the knowledge.
Yeah.
So what is the best way to get that as like unfiltered and, you know, as with as little salt on it as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I want the pure version of it. Mm-hmm. Soylent, but for knowledge.
Right. But that is also not just like the Wikipedia article. Like, I want to see like a coherent narrative, like somebody who was walking through the steps to this. Yeah.
Well, I want more information than just would be in the Wikipedia generally.
Yeah.
You know, and I say that, but then I didn't read the book.
Well, so. You know, so how much do you really want?
Someday.
Yeah.
You know, it's still there. Like, it's still mm-hmm. something I could read, theoretically, assuming I live.
Well, of course. I mean, it's in your possession. You can find it. Yeah.
Me or my descendants.
Well, of course. So the person who comes, the caseworker who comes and sorts out my house. Yeah. Yeah.
Whoever comes to take pocket.
Fucking yeah. Sad.
The whichever person buys it used from Powell's when somebody sells all my books to pay for my pauper's grave, pays to plant me upright in a potter's field. So,
oh man, yeah, I think like the best history book I ever read was 1491.
I've got that.
That's actually really, really good. But yeah, it's the only really one of the only like straight up just history books I've gone for. So
yeah, I don't have the history bug. Yeah, like history is interesting. I just don't have the like, you know, everything is interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about that a lot. Like,
it's
a lot of stuff to look into. Like, yes, you know, am I ignorant for not knowing more about the KGB? Sure. Mm-hmm. Am I ignorant for not knowing more about everything? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that's basically everybody.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you always say, I don't know about that because I was learning other stuff. Because
I learned about this other thing instead.
Yeah.
You know, and in my case, like, some of that stuff is pretty questionable bullshit. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of it's video games and stuff. But then that's my job. So, mm-hmm. bada bing, bada boom. Good excuse there, you know? Yeah, I was working.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's my job to know a lot about video games.
Yeah.
Straw man.
made-up parent who actually doesn't reflect either of my parents.
I have a good real life thing
okay
to bring into the podcast to kind of cruise us out this final 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, let's do.
So my band Modridge started practicing at a practice space again
okay
because we got a noise complaint. We're playing in Andrew's garage, a noise complaint. So one, you know, I don't know if we've ever had the talk about notes on the show, so we can put an asterisk there.
Okay, all right.
Because I'm curious, you know, that's something that I feel passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
Second, though, Andrew, who does most of like the kind of admin stuff for the band,
mm-hmm.
he's great. He found us a practice space. We are sharing a bigger room with the same metal band.
What?
Like, it's dude, listen, yes, no joke. Like, it is the exact same dudes. Like, Andrew's like, I think it's the same dudes. He asked the guy, he's like, hey, I think we actually shared a practice space with you a while back. And the guy's like, I don't know, dude. we go in there. It's a bigger space. It's kind of it's rearranged a little bit. I didn't recognize our equipment because I'm not like a gear wonk.
Right, right.
But they still have that whiteboard with all of the hilarious metal bullshit on it. So like there's at first it's cleaned up a little bit.
What was the big thing last time? Because I remember the whiteboard.
There's two things.
Okay.
There's a character called the Goat Master. So they had a bunch of
songs. I love it. I'm learning it for the first time again.
Nice reminder because it's back in my life. Like every week I'm now going to be able to go look at this whiteboard. I also found their leather book with all their lyrics in it, which I swear to fucking God has a song called Moon Ghoul.
So no like joke. I'm laughing because it rules so much.
Yeah, Moon Ghoul is great.
Yeah,
I love Moon Ghoul.
I'm laughing at Moon Ghoul because I wish I would have thought up Moon Ghoul.
Absolutely, I wish I had thought up Moon Ghoul.
Yeah,
like Moon. I love Moon Ghoul. So there's two things. Like so, Goat Master, and they had a bunch of things where it was like 777 number of the Goat Master. You know, Goat Master showed up a lot of other things. The other entity they've created in the like unnamed metal band shared universe is something called Vostrum. And that's how I was certain it was the same people, because they had in the exact same spot on their board, not a race, like this totemic little poem prayer to something called the Vostrum.
Okay.
And it was like, you know, raise the Vostrum up, you know, we, you know, become unto servants under the Vostrum.
How is Vostrum like, just spelled?
Demon shit. Vostrum, I believe.
Okay. All right.
So Vostrum is all over the stuff. Vostrum, Goatmaster, and now Moon Ghoul is there. And when I do Vostrum, it shows up autocompletes of Vostrum Clinic. So they're probably not talking about that.
Maybe.
It's a Latin word meaning so Vostrum is a neuter, is a neutral person. Superlative in Latin, your or belong associated with you.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's a neutral way of saying that.
So it's like Latin for y'all.
Yeah. Basically.
Okay.
And there's a Final Fantasy 14 monster named after it because of course there is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Mare Vostrum by Senny Gainey is a band. Like Monster Vostrum shows up.
But around. In their mythology, Vostrum is some kind of overforce that they must pay tribute to and be more like.
Seems unto. It seems like they are very pro Vostrum, and that is the idea of the Vostrum.
Okay.
They diagram their songs on the thing, and it's amazing because it's like riff, chug riff, riff solo, riff vocals, chug riff, Oblivion.
What is Oblivion?
I don't know. It's really good.
Is that just how they denote the, like, is it the coda? Is it the end of the song?
I imagine it's just, you know, just kind of like the song falling apart.
Right.
You know, that thing that happens at the end of songs. But yeah, it's like all the different, like, riff, chug riff. Like, all these different, like, you know, just using riff is very funny to me. And, like, I'm sure that I went through this exact same existential crisis last time this came up, where I feel a little bit bad making fun of these dudes. I'm sure they're very nice.
Yeah. We're not making fun of them. This rules.
It's just very funny to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's I do not know very many.
Vostrum does rule. Goatmaster does rule. I think the song diagram thing is dorky, and I am making fun of it.
But that also seems like an effective way to say to the entire group, you know, to jog their memory about how this song goes.
Yeah, it's not riff, it's chug riff. You know, it's the neutral language that is funny to me. Yes. It's the same thing as in the transport, or in, the transport.
Yeah, the containers.
Where it's like, the containers, exactly. It's just a really, the files. Have you uploaded the files? Mm-hmm. It's time for the files. You know, chug riff. Riff, chug riff, riff, riff with solo, riff, chug riff, Oblivion. It's really, really good. And I really, the last time we were there, it was a little busy. And I also felt dirty, like, looking through the lyric book. I just flipped it open to see that if whether it was ours or theirs, because I thought Andrew maybe brought it.
Right.
And then Moon Ghoul. And I was like, oh, Andrew doesn't write songs about a Moon Ghoul.
Yeah.
Put it down.
Maybe you should.
That is going to be a continuous, like, well, man, if we were like, here's our own Moon. What if we were like, yeah, here's our song, the Goatmaster. Mm-hmm. Like, we just kind of hermit crabbed all of their ideas.
Yeah.
Like, we're into Vostrum too, guys. That is how we end up in a metal band with 1,000 members, or as I coined it last night, the Polyphonic Spreemen. Anyway, so it's very bizarre that I'm back in there with those dudes.
Oh, man.
It's dank as hell. It's like this dank plywood coffin. Like, it's so weird. It's so much worse than the garage.
Yeah, but
neighbors, somebody left a fucking note.
Okay, so no noise complaint. They didn't call the cops. They just said, hey, you're bothering us. But they didn't do it by, like, coming over and knocking on the door while you were practicing. Okay.
Yeah, I don't like that. I think it's bad.
Yeah, no, that's bad form.
And also, like, it's a, you know, we're making noise, like, we stopped practicing at 10, you know, so it's not like we're going real late,
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. 10 o'clock is, I think 10 o'clock is a reasonable time to have a little noise that stops at 10.
Yeah. Like, reasonable people can disagree about that, I think, but it's like, just the handling it, I don't know, go over and talk to them, like, you know, make the complaint.
Well, the argument would be like, oh, some people really have to work early in the day. Yeah, the motherfucker, I've worked at night.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've had to, like, get up and go to work at 7 p.m. I don't demand that the world have quiet time when I'm sleeping. Mm-hmm. Just because you have to go to work at 5 a.m.
Yeah, yeah. Or, like, I could see the other one. Like, my kids can't sleep. You know, kids' bedtime is 8:30 and you're messing with that. Like, I could see that. Like I can see an argument. I'm not calling them right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, you know, the idea that, like, once you, I don't know, it's all fairly arbitrary.
Yeah.
I guess that's my point. And also the neighbors are not, like, it's not a weird, it's not a very kid neighborhood. Like, mm-hmm. The neighbors have these weird house parties and have, like, 17 cars in their yard.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a Trailer House Boys kind of cars in the yard, but just, mm-hmm. like, have a bunch of, like, just spare cars sitting around on their property.
Yeah,
and they're like fenced in thing. It has some compound vibes.
Compound vibes.
Like, I suppose they could be raising, you know, kids like you do in a compound.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's why those kids can't sleep. You know, but maybe we're doing them a favor then.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, like, you know, that's how they'll get out.
What's the worst note you've ever gotten?
Oh, all of them are equally bad.
Yeah.
Like, none of them have been really bad. I just don't. I immediately feel like repulsion. Mm-hmm. At getting a note.
Yeah.
So they're all pretty normal stuff, you know. The first house I lived in when I moved out from my parents' house, the big party house full of college kids, mm-hmm. One of the roommates was a note roommate. Ugh. And just would leave them around at chore sites, but not address to any particular person, which I don't know if it was, like, just made them ignorable. So there'd be like, and they were all like kind of, you know, goofy, like, oh, are we waiting for Jesus to come back and do these dishes? You know, et cetera. Like, just very passive aggressive, kind of like making fun of whoever's dishes those were.
Yeah.
You know, and I was actually like, that was, you know, I had a bad roommate phase. Like, I had a roommate later and I was a really shitty roommate. I was really messy. Mm-hmm. I was not a bad roommate in that house. Like, I didn't leave my dishes around. But yeah, it was really, really annoying.
Yeah. I just for me, I forget if I've told the story, but the house that I lived in that I lived at in college, it was from, you know, mostly people that I knew in high school. Right. Just they had gone to the same school and I got along with them. They were buddies and it was fine. But then one of them like went away for a summer, or for like a school year to go study elsewhere. And then we had to like look for a fourth person to live in the basement room. And we got, I'm gonna not say your actual name. We got Katie. Okay.
Okay.
We got Katie who came in. Katie, always complained. Katie also never talked. Katie hated us, hated being there. And the thing about Katie was Katie studied like dietitian or nutritionist, like whichever one of those is an actual thing that you go to school for. The thing about Katie though is, Katie, constantly let food rot in the fridge and would not get rid of it.
Yeah. You mentioned that. So like Katie had a problem with everybody else, but was also being extremely disgusting.
Yes. Katie was being extremely disgusting. And there are two things. Katie always had rotting food in her bedroom, which was in the basement, and had the gall to always have the gall to, just complain about everybody else because there were bugs that were getting into her room.
Well, geez, Katie.
Yeah. And the other thing is we had to clean out the fridge because it was full of rotten food. And then Katie left a note on the fridge saying, I'm studying food. I think I know when the food is bad. Why did you throw my food away?
That's very funny.
Yeah. could not abide Katie.
Yeah. Katie sounds pretty awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what the proper like thing to do.
Talk to somebody.
And I mean, if you're just like, so even then though, that's also, I understand that being awkward, like just being like, cause you never want to position yourself as somebody's parent.
Right.
You know, like, hey, you know, cause you're not their boss. Mm-hmm. Like they're a roommate, you know, yes, we all live in a society, but being the person who's like, you know, on the bus saying like, hey, turn down your stereo or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't really a thing. Mm-hmm. Like people just don't do that. So I think that like to me, and I don't know, I not necessarily would like it when I die on this thing, like, you know, don't at me about this because I'm not married to this. It's just an idea I'm trying on.
Yeah.
Is like maybe the proper thing is just to like find a good fit of roommates and the other things are just stuff you have to live with. Like if you have somebody who is messy, you know, and not necessarily to the bug level, like bugs are kind of beyond the pale.
Yeah.
Let's say you find a roommate and they're just like cluttery. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's just, that's your lot.
Yeah.
It's bad weather. And that's what you get for not living alone. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea that having a roommate and expecting them to live to your standards is maybe not part and parcel with the idea of having a roommate.
You don't want to be Felix Unker, right? You know,
totally.
You know, and they'll just like one of the biggest ways that people who cohabitate can differ is level of tidiness, right?
Absolutely.
You know, it's a cliche. But
the biggest one.
Yeah. Probably. But there's also kind of the idea, and this is ultimately what it came down to when the house that I was in functioned, when there was not a Katie in the basement letting food rot, is we each have our own space, right? So we all, and in the common spaces, it just kind of happened to be that like we did the stuff that worked for us and all the stuff got done. And it's like, you know, this person washes dishes, this person cleans the bathroom, you know, maybe sometimes we need to remind each other to take out the garbage, but like the stuff just got done because if somebody made a mess somewhere else, it's probably because they were over cleaning, you know, something else. Right.
Yeah. Well, that's ideal. Like to bring it back to the game a little bit, like, you know, generally I think that the best way of doing like divvying stuff up like that, yeah, in terms of cohabitation is a very like, it's like how you and I do live shows, you know, like just like from each according to their abilities to each according to their needs.
Right.
You know, like just like, you know, when I have lived with people before, like I don't mind doing dishes. Mm-hmm. I know people who hate doing dishes. Like, yeah, I don't mind doing it. It's a chore that I do not mind. I don't mind cleaning a bathroom, which is a weird thing to say because it's gross and there's pee pee and poo poo in there. But for some reason, that chore does not. Like, it's like, okay, I'll just throw on some music and it's pretty quick actually.
Yeah. It takes like less than 10 minutes to clean a bathroom.
Yeah. To do like a surface. So I don't mind it.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, and then other people, you know, maybe they're specific, like they love vacuuming. Mm-hmm. I don't particularly like vacuuming. Like, I understand why people find it satisfying. I don't like navigating a big blocky thing around table posts. Mm-hmm. And such. I'm not going to move all that stuff. That seems dumb to me. So, yeah, I don't like vacuuming. Mm-hmm. So I just think, like, ideally you'd be with somebody and it's like, oh, I like vacuuming, so I'll do it.
Yeah.
I like doing the dishes, so I'll do it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what you want.
Yeah. And you want to not have to talk about it.
Yeah, totally. Well, and if it doesn't match up that way, if mm-hmm. it doesn't match up exactly that way, I feel like you have a crossroads. It's like, I can become insufferable and no one will ever like me and I can damage this relationship, mm-hmm. you know, or I can just kind of like, well, you know, this person, like, I don't like doing dishes. This person doesn't like doing dishes, but it bothers me more to have the dishes undone. So I'm just going to do the dishes as long as they're doing some other stuff and I'm not just like a maid.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's just better just to like be like, yep, this is the cost of living with somebody.
Yep.
If I didn't want to do this, I would live alone. I can't mm-hmm. afford that. This is one of the many compromises I'm making.
Yes.
You know, that's just the reality of the situation. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. The advice to you teens, you know, with roommates out there, shut the fuck up.
Just like, do the goddamn dishes.
Just do the goddamn dishes. Like, no one's going to like you if you start writing notes. Like, you're just signing up to have an enemy. And then it's like real weird. You bring people yeah. over and you're like, oh, my roommate.
Yeah.
You know, like it is throwing away something very valuable mm-hmm. in the name of a principle that is about not doing 7 minutes of work.
Right.
You know, so maybe that is not the best trade off practically that you think it is.
It's a little bit like making a big deal. You know, making a big deal about who cleans the lint trap in the dryer.
Yes.
You know, in a shared, I've been in a situation where I've had to share a dryer with, you know, a bunch of people, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's a community resource. And like, it became a thing where people left notes like, you know, make sure that you empty the lint trap. And it's like, okay, yeah. Also emptying the lint trap takes 30 seconds. It's dumb that you don't, that this other person didn't do it. But also it takes 30 seconds and it needs to be done. So do it.
But at the same time, though, it is just the idea that, like, hey, you clean the lint trap before you do laundry versus you clean the lint trap after you do laundry. That is an arbitrary distinction.
It is. Yes. What matters like, the idea is that, that it
like,
is there's clean.
A right one, you yeah. know, that like it's just like, and that's something I can, if somebody left me a note to change the lint trap, which uh-huh. is, like takes less than 30 seconds.
Yeah.
It's a scoop. Like it is. If somebody left me a note for that, I would lose my mind.
Yes.
Like, just like, yeah. How about you fuck yourself? Like, if you can't literally do. I just timed it. It's less than a second to sweep your hand across a thing. If you can't do that without just like without going and taking the time to go upstairs, uh-huh. get a piece of paper, get out a pen, compose a note. Like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, you know, because it doesn't matter who does it. It needs to be done because otherwise the dryer won't work. And in the worst case scenario, guess what? Your house burns down.
Well, and it's trivial. Like, is there yeah. nothing that is below your notice? Mm-hmm. Like, if your principles are such that I will never do an amount of work that I did not incur.
Yes.
Like, newsflash, you will do a lot of that in life. Mm-hmm. Like, the way I think about it a lot, I think about being like in my mind. So like, let's say I'm at the movies. I have my garbage. And for a split second, I don't do this. I'm not an animal. But for a split second, I'm like, I could just leave this here. Somebody comes through and cleans it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no. And I grab it. And if I'm walking by and there's other garbage, like somebody's left a drink, I'll grab it.
Yeah.
And the way that I trick myself into doing it is I think I'm being a good citizen.
Yeah.
And I think that sentence. And mm-hmm. then it just tricks my mind into doing it because it takes nothing. Mm-hmm. It's less than a second's work. I'm yes. already on my way. It's right in the way. I'm not you know, volunteering at the theater. Mm-hmm. I just throw away somebody else's soda to make somebody who works a job they hate for minimum wage.
Right.
Their life just a little bit easier. I'm being a good citizen.
Yeah.
It's the same thing about like, I'm being a good roommate. Mm-hmm. Being a good roommate is like, if it takes me less than a second just to clean this lint trap to do this without making a fuss out of it and just damaging this relationship mm-hmm. between things, I'll be a good roommate instead of choosing not to.
Yeah. I can, it's funny. I get to choose whether or not this is a thing.
Totally. Yeah. And that's true of so many things. That's true right. of almost anything. Yeah. You know, there's an element of it. And like, yes, it might really bother you that you have to do it, but mm-hmm. everyone is going to make compromises and you get to choose the things you have to accept.
Yeah. Well, you know, you never know. Like, you may be running around with this internal grudge that you're holding against yeah. somebody and you write the note. And guess what? They probably have been picking up the slack for you in some way. And it's like, oh, totally. You want to start comparing this now? Because I do yeah. X, Y, and Z. And
you've all just of a sudden, you've got a equation.
Yeah.
You've made it into something that there can be a right or wrong. And then that's not even taking into account the David Foster Wallace. Like, maybe this person doesn't clean the lint trap because they're staying up all night with their partner who has bone cancer.
Yes.
And, you know, or maybe they're studying for final exams and mm-hmm. their parents are like, if you don't do this certain grade, you're getting kicked out of school and you have to go to the military school or something.
Yeah.
Like you have nothing idea. You have no idea. Every person is a foreign country. Mm-hmm. Like you have no idea what they're going through.
Yeah.
So when it's something that little, just shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and this is, I just imagine like a lot of people responding to this and being like, oh, I have this nightmare roommate. They, you know, do all the stuff. They're cockroaches. I'm not talking about that.
Yeah,
I'm not talking to you. If you're, you know, it's a safety thing and you're just like, I'm not talking about you with Katie in the basement. Like that's mm-hmm. bringing bugs in. Like yeah. that's something different that actually can affect health. And that's also just like really gross.
Yeah.
You know, nobody expects you to go down into Katie's room to clean up her rotting food.
Yeah.
You know, without like talking to her about it. But then even then a note is the lowest form.
Mm-hmm.
You just be like, hey, you know, I noticed that there were some bugs and stuff. Do you have any food?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like down in your room, you know?
Yeah, so. No. And it's not like, hey, you know, it wasn't just we threw out her food. It was like we asked her, hey, can you go through your food and see what's bad? You see what's good and see what's bad. OK. And then nothing happens.
Yeah. Job.
Yeah.
Man.
I don't know. No. I think that a lot of the time when somebody makes a big deal about that, it might go back to, well, we can't have free riders.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Yeah. When that just, I don't think that exists.
That's not really a thing.
Yeah.
You know, nobody rides for free.
It only exists anecdotally. And,
yeah. Yes.
You know, in one person's telling. Yeah.
Grass or ass.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like it is much rarer, and also why do you care?
Yes.
You know, it's a thing I was claiming about Twitter about TriMet, like our bus thing, hiring a bunch of bus cops, because it's like they did this tweet thread that's like, we've all seen it. Somebody getting on the bus without paying, it drives us crazy. That's why we're hiring new cops for you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nobody cares about that.
Oh, well, don't put that. Don't like make me part of your cohort that gets angry about people not paying to ride.
Yeah. Imagine thinking that like anybody, like I don't lose anything. I'm already on the bus.
Yeah.
I paid to ride and I'm on. Somebody mm-hmm. else came to ride for free. It literally does nothing to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the no argument, does it do anything? Like, yes, it costs TriMet money. So mm-hmm. in an abstract sense, possibly someday down the road, the additional gas incurred by having that additional 200 pounds on the bus
mm-hmm.
might someday make TriMet raise their prices and make me pay an extra 5 cents per ride years down the road in aggregate.
Yeah.
But that's cleaning the lint trap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't care about that. It's too small to care about.
Right. No, you know, and all that it is doing, it is trying to blame systemic shortcomings, right? Oh, our service is late. We have outages, et cetera, trying to blame that on individual actions of people who don't have the power to fight back.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and not only, and then also you look at enforcement, because it's like almost exclusively Black people and homeless people who are targeted mm-hmm. by this kind of thing. Like it is a
terrible policy. Terrible.
It's terrible policy. And also just let some things, you know, maybe be less concerned with somebody getting away with something
mm-hmm.
like that is not justice.
No,
you know, so anywho, KGB, if you like this show, who suggested this, Cole?
Oh gosh, I had to look up how to pronounce her name and I forgot it. Let's say Gardar.
Yeah. Thank you, Gardar.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks everybody for listening. And if you would like to suggest a game or demand a game or listen to more episodes of this game,
mm-hmm.
head on over to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yeah. We are getting to the end of the suggestions that we have right now. So mm-hmm. line's short.
Yeah. Yep. Get in there. The getting is good.
Mm-hmm.
You can also leave us ratings, reviews, talk about us on message boards, things like that. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I don't advertise for things on this mm-hmm. Very often. Days of Future Cast, the podcast I do with Jeremy Greer.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't listen to that, we've changed formats. We're covering comics now as opposed to cartoons, and we're starting with Grant Morrison's new X-Men run, doing issue by issue,
two episodes a week. Yeah, that's exciting. I didn't know you were doing that. Yeah, I knew you changed the format, but I didn't know you went to new X-Men.
Yeah, we're doing kind of the best and worst kind of comic arcs kind of randomly mm-hmm. with X-Men stuff, starting with that one, though, because that's we both were in the mood to reread it and it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And we hated X-Men Evolution.
Yeah,
we couldn't watch it. So like we had to stop.
It was the thing so bad it changed the show.
Exactly. So, you know, if you love X-Men Evolution, you know, we're it's not a call out. It's just we couldn't do it. And we switched to something we're more interested in. And it's very fun. We recorded the first couple weeks of that.
Nice.
So that'll be, it's different formats, shorter episodes, but patrons get them all in one, like 2 week sessions all together, which mm-hmm. basically roughly cover an arc. It's going to be a real good time.
Shit. Yeah. That's awesome. So yeah, Days of Future Cast.
Mm-hmm. Check it out. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's probably all about it.
Yeah. Think so. Until next time, Mara Para Blue Jeans to the Kremlin.
Umbasa.
Umbasa.